Hey everyone, it's Nicholas Wilton, and I'm sitting here with Serge Gay, an artist from San Francisco. And thanks so much for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Let's just dive into a little bit, just your background and kind of where you started. You were born in Haiti, and there's just this cool influence of a bunch of places you've been, which I think it's really influenced what your work looks like. So how long were you in Haiti before you left?
I was there until I was three, so no memory of Haiti at all.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, and I moved to New York in 87. And that was kind of like my first memory. I always say like my first memory was being on the plane to go to New York. And I just remember how different everything was. And then the second memory was walking off the Statue of Liberty.
Wow.
And then...
Did you leave? Did your parents, did the whole family kind of go?
Yeah. And that was because of like a revolt that was happening in Haiti. And my family was working for the government then. And so it was more like they had to escape.
Because the government changed and it wasn't a friendly government anymore.
Yeah, they were part of the old uprising against the government.
So they were fleeing for their lives.
Yeah.
And the U.S. allowed them access.
Yeah, and my dad had... all my dad's family was in New York.
Oh,
so that's
perfect.
One of the reasons was going there. And my dad and my older brother went first. And then me, my mom, and my middle brother, I'm the youngest of three, we went right after.
And then you were in New York, and did you stay? Was that your childhood spent in New York City?
No, it lasted just like a year. My family was like, probably because it was cold, and we just went straight to Miami. Like, first winter, done.
right.
But I think it was kind of rough for, I think, also my mom, because that wasn't the life that she wanted. Because New York, we went from like this kind of ideal life in Haiti to like, Queens, Jamaica, Queens, New York, a rough kind of place too.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And also, my family had other family in Miami. And so it was also closer to Haiti too. And so we kind of just moved down there and grew up there.
And then was the art, how did you start in on your art? Like, was that just something?
I think it was just because it was all over the place at my home. My dad's an artist.
Right.
And
what kind of work was his like? What was he doing?
Mostly like pottery based, clay based, but he does a lot of sculpture. And he did painting. He went to school for like architectural design.
So he was working for the government, but also just always doing his art.
Yeah, but kind of went to something else, I think, because he also like worked in other things like engineering and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But he was always number one with sculpture, pottery, which he's doing now. And he kind of took over his dad's business, pottery business in Haiti. So he goes back and forth.
Oh, really? Wow.
So it was just, art was everywhere. And it felt natural. Even like my older two brothers are pretty good, but they just never took it further.
Right. It's not like they could have, but they went other ways. Yeah.
I'm the one that, maybe because I'm the youngest, like one was like, I want to be a doctor. The other one was like, I want to be a lawyer. And then it's like, me is like, I don't know what to be. Like, just do whatever you want.
Right. We're tired of shepherding this.
Yeah. And, so if they just kind of allowed
and
me
there's
to.
The artist slot wasn't taken. You know, usually with kids, it's like, well, he's the athlete.
Yeah.
She's the musician. Okay. I'll do the art.
Yeah.
And then did you go to art school? Was it in New York? Or where did your art training happen?
It started in Miami. Everything started in Miami. It was... started to do like art in elementary school, where one of my art teachers was like, you need to go to art magnet school in middle school.
Oh, wow.
And I had to apply with my little baby portfolio.
Cool.
Like,
dude, flying. That's scary, man. You made a portfolio in like fifth grade.
Yeah.
Shit.
And even that was like me, it was scary just being like the idea of like doing art for like a living, like doing it because I thought I wanted to be like an athlete or something. And I remember when I made it to the art middle school, like I felt very uncomfortable and I left to go back to my home school and they had to drag me out, call my parents to drag me out. Like my mom was like, no, you're going to art school, you're good at it. you're going to do this. And I was like, I don't want to do this. And so for then, I went to art middle school and then applied to an art magnet school, high school, which I got rejected. And then I was on hold for a while and then...
They let you in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you went on to like a
art college.
Art college. Which one were you?
So art college in Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you moved. You moved there to go to school there.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Wow. And then, what was the? How did your work start evolving? I mean, when I look at your work now, like it's just super layered. You know, like it's this whole. Has it always been kind of like that?
It's been like communication. That's why I was. When I go back to like when I started doing art, it was literally when I was a kid, first grade of school. It was my way of communicating because English was not my first language.
Right, of course.
It was French and Creole, and that's the way I can make friends. And most of the time, I was just like trying to impress my friends
because
that's the only way I knew how to communicate. It was nothing like a passion. And then
I was the same way.
Yeah.
These girls liked my stained glass windows. And I didn't even realize they would, but once they did, I was like, I'm the artist. You know, it's all I have.
I can show you. I can do stuff for you. Be my friend or like me.
Oh, I totally get it. So the language thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then... It was weird, like I didn't know what I was drawing, and I remember one of my elementary school teacher found me in high school and then sent me all the drawings that she kept. And it was like the weirdest things, like going to like me drawing like naked people in South Beach. Because it was just like a very eye-opening, like what is going on? It was like I was drawing this and it was just like...
Wow, just, and they saved them.
And it was like really cool drama, just me in my environment trying to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
So I think that's always been what kept me and my work together of like kind of communicating something in my environment.
This is like what you're seeing in the world and you're sharing it in this powerful language that you have. But then, and that's just kept going, really.
Yeah. Because I always kind of push myself to explore something completely outside my comfort zone or seeing a new city or a new place or put myself in a different situation.
Right. To then just respond to that.
Yeah.
Because Detroit's really different than San Francisco, you know, or California. Yeah. Was it Detroit? And then where after Detroit did you come?
Detroit? From Detroit?
Yeah. And was Detroit, like that's a harder environment, right? Or what is the difference between?
I didn't know anything about Detroit at the time. It was just, I got a scholarship to school. I wanted to be just a fine artist, painter for gallery, and I was trying for schools like Cooper Union, New York. And I remember a recruiter came to my high school talking about CCS Detroit, and she was like, "You should do illustration." I was like, I knew nothing about illustration.
Oh, they suggested that.
Yeah. And they gave me the bigger scholarship. And I was like, okay, I would like to do commercial work too, so maybe I can give this a shot.
Yeah.
And going to Detroit was kind of like the biggest eye-opener, just knowing the history about the city.
Yeah.
And that was not even planned to. It was just going
for the school. How it's like someone just suggests something and they give you a little extra money and you just, all right, I'll go there. You know, and it has this huge impact.
Yeah. Right. And it turned out to be like one of the best experiences I've ever been. Like, I would say like the best city I ever lived.
Wow, really?
In Detroit.
Yeah. And so then you started in on illustration.
Yeah.
And now you know, and I see this a lot with illustrators, and as you know, I did tons of illustration, but like it's pervasive. You do clothing, you do skateboards, you do murals, you do fine art, you do illustration. I mean, do you categorize it in this way? I mean, is your commercial work really is easy and as enjoyable as just the work you make for yourself? Or how is that all working?
I think going back again, like I love doing work for other people. I love what my work does, make people happy. And that's how the part like I do have to separate when it comes to my personal work And when it comes to gallery, I don't care what other people think. And that can kind of help me to do the commercial work where just like, even though I might not like it, but I know somebody else is going to love it. And I can let go whatever boundaries or whatever like ego I have, because it's just...
Because in the gallery work, what you're saying is like, there's no end user. You just don't think about that. So you have this freedom. But isn't it what I found... It's this big question mark. It was hard for me to create work without having an end user in a way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I got so used to having a response and working with someone and solving a problem. And it was just a more social project. And then when I just had the wide openness of a gallery, it wasn't easy for me to do that. I don't know. Is it harder or easier?
No, it's very easy. I can let go of things. Like, really? I can't let go. Like, I don't ever want to see this again.
Why? Really?
Like, I don't care. I was telling you, I'm the worst when it comes to, like, even taking care of my work. I'm just like, please take this because I might destroy or something because I'm ready to move on to the next thing. The next, like, evolving. And that's why it's like, when I do the commercial stuff, like someone can ask me with multiple changes and stuff, I'm like, I'm fine. Like, I'm not gonna break down or anything. And it keeps me kind of like calm, knowing like I'm doing other things on the side. I'm doing this for work or I'm doing this for somebody.
Right.
I'm not really taking it as serious to like kind of break me, because I don't bring that commercial work to my personal work.
But it sounds like you don't bring too much attachment to the personal work either. You know what I mean? Like, you love it, but then
once to when I'm the,
making it.
Making it. It's all about like being in the moment, making it. Then, like the final outcome.
God, that's great that you got that somehow. I think that's a really mature, I don't know, I'm getting there, but I, you know, because a lot of people when they're making art, they, you know, they're looking over their shoulder. They're concerned about if it's going to sell or all that. So you're able to just make it.
Yeah.
But you still have to like get it to the gallery and it's really good. I'll send you, you know, do you do all your own promotion?
Well, the gallery, it depends on the
gallery. Yeah, that's true. Right. Yeah. But I mean, to get a gallery, let's say you want a better gallery in LA. I mean, you got to call up or you got to promote your work or is it just, has it just happened naturally more? People see things of yours.
Mostly it comes naturally when it comes to like I have to do push myself to be a better artist and let the work speak for itself more than anything.
Because
I've had before talked to galleries and they'll just like didn't give me 2 cents. And then the galleries who like Art Attack were just like, yes, can we show you kind of
right.
thing.
Right. And they approach you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I approach them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like a rare thing too.
Yeah.
But I've also came a long way from like what I was before.
Right. So it switches after a while. Like galleries actually do need cool work. And you know, they're in business for that. And as your work gets better and better.
And that was an interesting when you say like how could like not, I was thought of like, I would say like why I'm not attached to my work so much.
Yeah.
It reminded me one of my best professors back in high school in art school that stuck to me. When we were doing like pieces and we had like a night to make an art piece for homework and then we're bringing the next day and he'll say like, okay, nah, burn it or paint all over it. And we were like, every student was just like, what? We just spent so much time and we had to destroy the art.
That's a great idea.
And just like the idea is like, don't get attached. You're going to be better. This is just a practice. And so he used to do that all the time. And we learn to just like,
I love that,
the attachment of something.
Yeah, right, right.
So that could be like another reason why I'm.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's unusual. It's great, you know, because you have a lot of freedom then, and you know. So when you were saying that your work's changed a lot and evolved, like, what is the for you? Like, can you articulate kind of what you're after in your personal work or any of the work? Like, you know, I mean, I can interject my own thoughts. So I'm just curious, you know, I see the complexity of it and all sides and underbelly stuff. And it's super thoughtful. It feels that way to me.
I feel like the curiosity of it. I don't know where I'm after. Like, I want to see what the next one is going to be because it is me trying to do things that I think I like, but at the same time, I don't. Like, for one instance, a lot of my paintings would be, like, very, like, loose and brush strokes. I remember I was doing that, and I remember, like, my dad had a big part of that because he used to say, like, your paintings are never done if it's not blended. Because that's like
his thing. He was even more realistic.
Oh yeah, he was very tough, and he used to be an instructor too.
Oh shit, he was your dad.
But he's also like traditional Haitian art. Is a lot more smoother.
Yes,
like
yes.
Caribbean kind of art. So he would just like look at my work, and he used to be very like to collage and draw and paint, and I would like love every single part of it, and then. It was almost like I was trying to please him, and he would always say, like, not done. And so that always stayed in my head where I was just like, now I was developing more of a smooth kind of style. And now I want to go back to painting a little bit loose. And I would go in and out. So now it's like finding the balance of both. Because I started to like now like a little bit of smoother, but I want to go back to how I used to be.
Yeah.
I think that's the one thing that when I'm looking in the future is just like, how can I mesh a good cohesive of the two?
Yeah, I see that. I see that. Like you're going to blend it in a way. It's going to be because you've developed this really amazing facility, but in a way that can be, you can get stuck in there. Yeah. You know?
And I think the overall idea is like, I don't want to paint realistic. I don't want to do it that much detail. And when I find myself, like, all of a sudden I can't walk away from just let it be loose. And then I'll just, like, if you see a lot, I'll just draw on top and then walk away.
Yeah.
I'll just think, if you see, like, there's a couple of, like, just these drawings, like, I wanted to.
You want to have that in there.
Yeah. Just, yeah. To, like, think, it's just a reminder for myself.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, next don't
care
do this.
About this. I don't have to just fill in all these B's.
Yeah.
You know, I've already done it once. Here they are, and be done.
And it's mostly a reminder, like, next paintings, you're going to draw more on top of your paintings. I want you to be much looser. Don't be uptight.
Yeah, totally. No, I draw a lot on my things, and I can actually feel when the work looks like that, and then I have to mess it up, and then go back in, and it's just, I go back and forth. You know, it'll be controlled in the beginning, and then I'll cover it up, and then control it again, but I get better at it the second time, and I let it go, and it's like more of a layering process. You know, I don't know if you kind of do that, but...
Yeah, completely.
It's you know, it's just this blend of feeling at ease with your making it and not having it be tight.
Yeah.
It's more of like a feeling you're after, and the work... And how it was made, I mean, I get, like, those pieces that felt like that for me are really, they're my favorite ones. They're not often the ones that sell, or they're not often the ones that maybe are the best, but for me, they are.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, gives me, like, that's how I want to make the work. Or sometimes it'll happen in just a corner.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's right there. I want that in this, but bigger, you know. Because it's hard. Totally. You're teaching yourself something that you don't know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just looking for these signs or feelings, you know. But you're doing... tell me about... You do a lot of video where, you know, music videos and all these cool... Where you're combining your art with, you know, music and it's moving. And how do you approach... Like, and you're working with a team. You have other people in there. Do you... How do you bring your art to that, and is it the same or like
completely not the same? I think that's the closest to my illustration degree was putting that into music videos.
Oh, really?
And that was one of the first like major jobs I got right off after school. It was weird because I was almost going to work for Disney in LA after school.
I had friends that did that.
Yeah. And
you're kind of lucky.
That changed completely. And I remember staying in Detroit figuring out what I wanted to do. And then my friend called me to if he was interested, if I was interested in working on this music video with one of his friends who's directing, who's the same guy after like years. It was like a Snoop Dogg video. Like, you interested in doing this video? I was like, yeah, sure.
I saw that video. Yeah. That's the one on your site, right?
Yeah. And it was just like, can you do a couple of drawings really quick?
It's cool how you guys did that, where it feels like a drawing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's some weird. Yeah, but it's, did you draw that or is that like a filter?
Yeah, completely hand drawn.
Oh, it's
and
cool.
Then he would put like the filter on top.
Oh, I see. You give it that like distant, garbled look.
Yeah,
that's really cool. So that was your first one for Snoop Dogg?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you meet him and everything?
No, I wasn't on set. I was like still in Michigan. Oh, they already shot the video and they had somebody else.
Yeah, that's true. They were just stylizing it through you.
Yeah. They already had another artist working on it and he dropped off.
Oh.
And so I had to like kind of fill in and finish it up for him.
Right.
And so like, yeah, that was like probably like the first kind of like illustration kind of style job when I was just doing the pretty much illustration to fit a video.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with type of style or anything. And it kind of developed that way most of the time. Like, actually, Matt, my buddy, the director, Matt Stosky, was like, he wanted me to put a lot of my art into it. It's weird because it was a little bit of like, I didn't want to because I would get too attached. And because you had a lot of the labels would be like, can you take this off or something like that? Where I would rather have it more be a different kind of style or fit whatever the video, the idea of it. Because I don't know, I can let that go a little bit more.
Yeah, like, so if it was really personal, then you feel vulnerable or you don't want to look at that and say, that's me. That's just a video thing that I did and it's easier
to work
on.
Well, I wanted it to be, but it could be kind of, there was a certain amount of videos where, when we were given a video that we had a lot more freedom, I felt like I can put a lot of myself into it. But it's just like, when you're limited to a certain time and a lot of opinions from different labels and artists, sometimes you try to find something that's either quick to kind of...
Well, I like that one because it was really minimal and it was just kind of like one look that was consistent with it. It kind of worked, you know, that stood out for me, you know, and it actually felt a lot like your work to me, like that one in particular.
So. I can't remember exactly how it looked. It was all black and white,
but
was it like
kind of gritty and it, you can't tell if it's like, if it's a photograph or, you know, like, or a drawing of a video, you know, it's a nice blend.
And I think I worked on it for like 3 hours and it had to be sent right away. And I remember my friend was like in the room with me, my friend Steve, and he was just like waiting and we're like scanning and then like had to send. It was like very like, we need an artist.
Do this. Wow. So when you look at all your work now and, you know, do you see, as like I do, that there is a cohesive quality to what you're doing? Do you get that now in all these, or are
probably
you?
It took like, last year when I found out. Like, I was scared because I was probably I would think of myself as one of the worst artists because my things were changing so much.
Yeah.
I was like, what makes me? And people know me as an artist. And I would say, like, maybe the way I paint. Maybe the way... now it's starting to be, like, sometimes the subject matter.
Yeah, or color, you know? Like, the color and... And certainly the subject matter, kind of, but it's...
But I think it's the way I paint,
I
mostly.
Think it's the way.
Yeah, because the there were times when I did a lot of movie pop art, iconic, like, with the... movie theme kind of shows and art. People were like, oh my God, we want to see more of this. This is selling. But I was like, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And
right.
People started to recognize me as just doing that. And it wasn't because it was like that part of my life is done with.
Yeah. I totally
it
relate.
It makes sense. Like, it's doing really well. I should continue as an artist, but just like...
I totally had the same experience. It's like, you get excited about something, you develop it, and it's cool because you're putting your energy on it, and then eventually people catch on, they start using it. But by that time, you're already like developing something else. But then everyone gloms onto that one thing and they want you to do it over and over. Oh my God. But you're already down the road over here.
Yeah.
And I was always sabotaging almost. Like, I don't want to, I can't do more of that. Now I'm doing this.
It's going to stop you from growing.
Yeah.
Like,
totally.
I would say, like, I haven't hit my full potential yet.
Right.
Because if I'm going to keep doing the same thing, and of course, that's me, like, I'm not gonna like doing the same thing because I don't even like staying in one thing at a time.
Right. I mean, you're already doing about 20 things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I have to, like, evolve to something else.
Yeah.
But I think overall, like how you say, like, I'm figuring out, like, probably it started, like, last year that, okay, it's my, the way I paint.
It's actually it how you
me,
think
and how yeah
it's how you how think, think yeah. and just your discernment and your decision making about whatever thing you do, and that's what I've realized. Like,
yeah,
like we could give you, like, if you did, like, you know, dog food bowls, it's gonna feel like your work. You know, I used to think it was like, well, I don't want to do watercolor because I'm an acrylic painter, or it's too brushy, or it's too loose. But as you get going, and it took me a long time to sort of start to see it for myself, but that it all starts hanging together.
Yeah.
If you keep true to you jumping around and what keeps you interested, you know, and that's kind of great.
Yeah, that's very true. I like that. Because I was thinking about it. I went to a meeting yesterday about doing the mural in the inside of the restaurant. And then I was like, so what are you guys, I was talking to the owners, I was like, so what are you interested in? What ideas, give me some feedback of what you guys are thinking of the mural. They're like, we pretty much want to leave it up to you. And I'm kind of like,
dude.
Oh, for most artists, it's just like, yeah, okay.
Right,
for me, it's
right.
Like, oh, and like, we love what you do. We want to bring that into
the vibe of what you do.
Yeah. And I'm kind of like 100% okay with it, but at the same time, it's like, okay. And that's what you said. Like, they love the way you think.
Right. So you're seeing that now. Because I totally can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it. And it's cool that you're seeing it, because that's just going to happen more and more. And you just have to, like, you know, you've been doing this a long time now. And you're just getting better at it and better at it and better at it.
Yeah.
And there's less and less people that have done it as long. And it just starts having it's a distillation of all your world. And it's coming out this way.
And I think that's like the number one thing too. I think overall, I like to be a storyteller.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure my work tells a story overall than anything else.
Yeah.
And so when it became like, I think with the movie themes, it's just like, it's not my story anymore.
Right.
It started with a couple of like, oh, I love this movie, so I want to base a painting based off this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like one of my favorite movies. But people were like, what are you, this movie? I'm like, nope, okay, this is where you're killing it.
I used to, when I was in art school, I painted in a really loose, almost impression, loose painterly way. And we'd get these assignments and I could solve them anyway. I had all this freedom.
Yeah.
And I would hire models that I wanted to paint. Wanted to paint like that, and the thing came out really good. And I got all this work when I got out of school. But then they told me the things they wanted to paint. Like, I loved this. There was this one model who was this amazing clown guy, like a sad clown. He would dress up, and I'd hire him, he was so cool to paint, and people loved it. And then I'd have to paint like a CEO of a bank, like an old guy.
Yeah,
it was like I have no. I can't just do this for that guy.
Yeah.
It was a disaster.
Oh, yeah.
I just didn't anticipate it. So I totally relate. I just wanted to tell my own story, and I had to develop that ability quite after I got out of school, because what I did just didn't work. I wasn't employable. I couldn't do it for anybody. I had to have total control.
Yeah.
So I just did I sort of went down a vein where, like what you're doing, more editorial. They let me think so I could stylize the things I want, you know. So I totally get it. It's a it's a thing to get it so people can say to you in that restaurant, yeah, we just want what you do. But that takes a while to get. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And do you, and so you do a lot of murals, right? You, that's really awesome. And you do them all yourself, you were saying? So what is, what does that look like? You go into this restaurant, do you just start drawing on the wall and you bring your paint? That's terrifying.
Well, I love drawing.
That's, yeah.
A lot of people don't get to completely, at least start that step where just go right on the wall and start drawing.
So that's
but most of them, you send like a sketch first.
Okay. So you work on your sketchbook. Yeah. So you have an idea. They have they approve it.
Yeah, they approve sketches. And some just like, just go right for it.
Right.
But yeah.
And so it's acrylic paint that you're using?
Yeah.
Do you use like spray paint or anything? Like,
no.
So it's just acrylic, pencil, and just...
Very basic. Very... yeah, it's very basic.
Well, I mean, you can do a shitload of things with acrylic paint. I mean, that's not...
It's
basic materials, but you can...
But why try to fight the things that you're best at? Don't try to introduce at any point.
Yeah, I mean, spray paint has a certain quality. I try to, I use a little bit of it in my work, but there's it has a certain quality to it that I like, but it's very minimal, you know, and I just didn't know. I mean, you're covering big areas. I mean, do you use a roller?
Roller or big brush. Even if I'm taking a long time just to cover a whole area of brush, I'm like, I need the fitting of a brush than the spray paint. And people ask me all the time, like, why don't you just cover that section with a spray paint? I'm just like,
well, it's just,
it once again is like I love the process of like, and that's one of my processes, like the feel of a brush covering a space.
Yeah, totally.
And that's my part of like maybe meditating or calming myself.
Yeah.
Because, I think there was also one, I used to love painting with oil and I get like sick or I hate the fume of like the turpentine and stuff like
that.
And it's just like another thing, like, oh, that breaks my spirit. It breaks my, like, idea of, like, I'm not calm anymore. I'm just, like, now I'm just, like,
poisoning
getting a migraine. And the same thing for, like, any kind of spray paint, anything. I'm, like, you're ruining my kind of...
Yeah, this is your...
Yeah, zen moment.
So when you work on this work, do you have a... Is it, like, traditional, like, you kind of sketch and do drawings to think?
It's a lot of research.
Because I mean, you're using more literal stuff. You're looking at figures. I mean, like this painting here. There's a bunch of stuff in there. I mean, you had a picture of a pigeon.
Like I knew exactly what I wanted, but now I had to find everything. I had to take like the hand is my hand. Like the lips of her. Some other picture I found with another face. Like I wanted a certain look. Made her hair green and finding imagery, taking pictures of plants.
Yeah, like
where that's half. I went around the corner. So this building, a corner, is that building. I took picture and then mixed it with Detroit. So it's just like it's all about.
So, but do you have a kind of a vision of this, and does this come in just like a dream, or do you just draw this and then you go find the reference to make it?
First is I want to paint this idea. Now it's like how I'm going to develop that idea. And then I have like, okay, I want a lady. I want her to hold a tea cup. I want it to be a 50s kind of style mixed with a jungle Caribbean kind of African style blending in. So I already have those ideas popping. And then like most of the time, like later on as I'm painting, I'll start adding things. I think it was like, I started adding like the African mask. I remember, like, also, I was like, I want a pigeon just to be right there.
Yeah.
Like, the other teapot, just start adding it.
And I love how you use color, like, to separate these worlds out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like...
That's also the part where I'm always, like, challenging myself, because most of my paintings would be over-the-top colorful. And I didn't like anymore, so I always had to like take colors away from myself.
Right, right. Limit your own power.
And that's where that kind of like series, the black and white, where I was just like, I need to focus on the story
Yeah, story is not a colorful painting.
Yeah,
and if you tone that down, then the story can come out better.
Most of my work, subject matter is really dark, even this, and sometimes the colors can kind of overpower the subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was always so like me kind of toning down the bright colors and kind of challenging myself to pick and choose.
Mm-hmm. So do you have a sense of like the feeling that you want this to have from mm-hmm. the very get-go?
Yeah.
Like this is like sad but it's, you know, like there's, it's complex, the emotions of this picture. And I'm just wondering, you're after that and then you get it and you stop. Kind of.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't happen by accident. And
I think, what was this called? Like talking about the golden age. And of course I wanted to do like kind of like the golden age of the 50s. And
right.
So I had to use the colors of like yellowish,
uh-huh.
goldish colors, kind of blending with the green, which is, I love kind of jungle ideal.
And yeah.
Coming from like a tropical area. That was automatically like the color choice I wanted to put into
mm-hmm.
it. So I think also like subject matter has to also fit whatever those two colors I want to challenge myself.
Right. And just, you know, like making your hair green and, you know, it's, yeah. So did you do a lot of like figure drawing and a lot of head painting and like your classical all the way?
Yeah, I started figure drawing soon. Like came from middle school to my high school, it was straight to figure drawing before I even mm-hmm. started. They forced us to go to a summer school before we entered high school of just arts, our art classes. It was like full on new figure at middle school, and just like figures is number one, and you're gonna learn how to draw.
Yeah.
So that was it's continued.
And you still
do
that. You still have that.
Yeah.
So do you have a sense of like, you know, from where you are now, like what's exciting? What's kind of like on the bucket list for you, or what's exciting for you coming up, or where you're hoping to take this work? Do you have a sense of that? You know, or any pieces that you've done where it's like, oh yeah, that there's something there that I can take this into a new place. Like
probably these and mm-hmm. another one where it was connected to like a bar scene.
Yeah. Because they're so narrative.
Yeah.
They're like super complex stories, you know?
And I tend to go back and forth. So even though I finished this whole series, mm-hmm. I want to now go back to what I was doing this whole last series.
These simpler
and then develop
items.
This idea
uh-huh.
and another scale. And then I think I'll probably go end up to more of a simple. So I go from like these...
The opposites.
The
complex
yeah.
to then these small narratives, these small... Yeah, they're like little pieces of these bigger pictures that you pull out.
And I would find like myself kind of like picking the paintings I did in the past, because it's rare that I like a lot of my paintings, and I'd be like, I like this one now than I did before, and now I want to develop something similar
mm-hmm.
for my next series or something. Yeah.
And the scale, like you don't work really big, right? I guess you do the murals, but not like this.
Oh, I'm not working big. I think because my studio space is too small.
Yeah.
And for this series, you can see the one over there.
Mm-hmm.
I have to put in two panels just for studio space.
Because your studio space is small.
It's pretty small. It's
at
my place.
Right. So you have these two pieces. You can put them up or work on one. And
yeah.
Work on another. Yeah.
And I can put them together, but I can't go like bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
and also whatever I can't fit in my car. So I just throw it all in there.
Yeah. Because
once again, I need to be like a little bit in the way of like how I treat my art and everything.
Uh-huh.
Just like this is I don't care attitude where I just
like
if it's not gonna fit my car, then I shouldn't like be painting, but I should be like taking a little more time and effort.
Like, these are so dense, like, I could see this, like, 20 feet wide, this kind of story. So
yeah,
it becomes like a world you walk. I mean, that's just me, like, wanting to experience it really
big. Yeah, because you know I think I paint really terrible small.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why is that? Just because you're tight?
Tight, yeah. Right? Just the idea I'm like this, it hurts me.
You sit and do it?
Yeah. And when I like to stand up and paint.
Right,
so
right.
On a bigger scale.
And so in a way, you're doing these murals, so that gets you, you're just painting. Oh, large.
Yeah. Or if you walk by me doing a mural outside, I'm dancing.
So you
I'm literally dancing and painting, and people are like, oh, what is...
So people are constantly stopping on the street. Oh, what are you doing? What are you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like, and I move really fast. So I'm just like here, there, and running around, bouncing around.
Uh-huh.
So I like the scale of art. And
yeah. So it's not going to be hard for you to do these more complicated paintings larger. If you just get a bigger studio, you practically sounds like it would be better.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So, I think this series is,
Tell me about that one, the runner and what story are you telling there? I mean, is it the obvious story or
pretty old, the obvious story. Mm-hmm. And then it was right after watching that documentary of the 13th Amendment.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it kind of went with every idea of like, if I'm interested in whatever I just watched from documentary, I would say like music videos in general is like a big influence on my art.
Mm-hmm.
With certain subject matters. And then I put like my personal story to that idea. And it kind of went with a lot of me as an artist growing up, no matter how much I tried hard enough to be an artist, I never could get approval. Nobody saw. I would have to like really fight for my art to be seen or be a knowledge.
Which is almost like every artist, but
yeah.
Are you also talking about the layering of not being of this country and different skin color and race
just completely
and all
when
that.
It became like, as a black artist, you kind of pigeon-toed to a certain...
What is that? What is it? How? Like, what is it?
It's when I first, especially when I was moving here, and I wanted to go into like even just graphic design because I felt like this is what I have to do to be in a very kind of tech city. And they kind of pigeon-toed me to in a certain kind of idea, like, there's not much black graphic designers. And so if you do,
really?
And it came with a couple of murals where they saw my work, it's like, yeah, but this is not what we want because he's going to probably create type of work, like African work, into the mural.
Interesting.
But we don't see him doing the kind of job we ask him to do. And that was always a constant battle. It's like, no, I'm more than just...
Wow.
So that kind of idea, I think I pretty much had to experience my whole life.
Like, yeah.
I'm categorized as a type of artist, and I won't be able to do a certain type of project.
Oh man, that's just
so that kind of have an idea with like the head start, like I never can like get that head start. And then dealing with the constant struggle in the black community.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All around. And then so your work has that in it, of course. And you know.
And actually that one and this one has the same subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
About kind of like waking up and being like, oh, every day has to be a fight for approval, no matter what, even if I'm like...
And you're an artist, which is, I mean, like, I have had that fight, but it's nothing like yours. You know, like, I wouldn't know what you're talking about because I'm like a white guy in a white society, and you know, but being an outsider always as an artist, I've struggled with that. But I mean, to have the double... thing of looking different and language and like that's totally going to inform your work, you know. Did you have a lot of friends that, you know, other black artists or other different, you know, like how did you figure this out? How did you keep going, you know, like what gives you like
family or friend. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a struggle coming here comparing to like after leaving Miami and Detroit, where I felt like there was more of a comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But it's also like coming here was also a wake up call.
Yeah.
And so like in the beginning of moving here was a constant struggle to kind of where do my art fit?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very different.
Yeah.
Than what I saw in California when I first here. So it's just like, if my art good enough, are they liking what I'm doing kind of thing? And how do I need to change? And when I did change, I was selling and it was great, but it wasn't who I was.
So you did change to fit in, and then that was a dead end.
Yeah. For me.
Yeah.
Because everybody else was loving it.
what have you got to do with it?
Yeah. And that was the part where I kept saying, like, I could have just kept going with that, but it wouldn't have been true to what could have been.
But now you got you and you get that, like, this is solid. This is going to really take you somewhere. I mean, that's what I'm seeing, and it's cohesive and it's you. And that's really awesome that you're doing it. It's really, really inspiring, super inspiring. So in sort of wrapping this, if someone's wanting to, like, what kind of advice could you give people that are like trying to enter the art world now, or like, would it be, you know, just make sure you're drawing, or, you know, like what?
Completely that, like, drawing is always my number one. Like, I feel like anybody can paint, like, in the way that master a certain type of painting skills. Uh-huh. But I think your fundamental drawing of something is what's going to always take you to that step. Because as soon as you put the art, the painting form on top, is gonna create something else new.
Yeah, right.
And the idea of like always keep painting, which I found that like as soon as I stop, I find myself always having to start over again.
Yeah.
I think
you lose emotional footing, you know what I mean?
It's also, in the business standpoint, is like people always wanna see you develop, and you develop as you continue painting. And I remember one year I kind of stopped painting, and I was working on video and film and design and stuff like that. And that people started to forget me as an artist when I was developing myself already in the art community in San Francisco too. And then once I stopped for a whole year, it was completely like starting from day one.
Because there's so much stuff being made all the time. It's not that they forget. It's just there's other stuff that's coming along.
Yeah.
And they're just looking at all this other stuff, you know. And if you're not in that Rolodex of, like, stuff.
Yeah. And the process of also continuing, like, always painting and showcasing also opened doors to other people coming and, seeing your work and being like, that's the same thing with the mural. It's like, oh, I just saw this painting and it kind of worked with the idea I want to do for a mural.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's the idea
Right. They put that together and they're thinking, and then you get an opportunity. All these opportunities start happening, which creates more opportunities. And
that's the part, like, you should never stop painting. Always keep doing work because that one painting is going to open doors to something else, another opportunity.
Yeah, it's a journey that you get to do, but you're only on it when you're actually making the work.
Yeah.
For me, when I stop, I kind of lose my momentum. I actually kind of forget. I forget in a way that I'm an artist at all. It's only demonstrated to me when I'm doing it. It's weird. I mean, I know I am, but I would never stop for a year now. I would go crazy. I just have to keep my hand in it. It's like the stakes get higher, you know. It's like, this is what I'm doing now. I'm committing again. It's like really a part of my life, and everything's organized around this thing. I don't want to like lose that thing. Yeah. I don't know.
I'd stopped for a week. I was out of town, and that's already like, I feel like I have to pick up momentum.
Yeah.
So imagine like a month or a year, just like it's a pushback to what you want to do. So it feels like for me, it just like I have to start back to square one and keep pushing myself again.
Yeah, because when you're making the work, it reacquaints you with the story, the long story, the arc of what you're doing. Yeah. It's only when you're making it. I'm not very good at laying in bed thinking about what I'm doing. It only comes to me when I'm doing it and then looking at it after I've done it to see where I'm actually going or to get some clues.
Yeah.
You know? So that's part of it too. I lose the thread.
Yeah. Yeah, I lose the skill, the art skill.
Mm-hmm.
I already have every idea. I have my next three ideas for my next series. Already.
That's cool. So these are series. These are fine art paintings. This is just your own thing.
I'm a big fan in like an album cover, album in general, music album, where every song is consistent and it has tells a story.
Like a body really of work good, that tells
good body
a story.
Of work kind of thing. Yeah. So I kind of work in that idea.
Yeah.
I like that more than like doing like a single painting. Uh-huh. I would say a lot like, so are you gonna, can you add a little couple more? I'm like, no, that body of painting is done.
Yeah.
Like I'm ready to move to the next series because that's my next story.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Serge, listen, thank you so much, dude. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
It's really inspiring. Thank you.